Thank you, worship team. Amen. God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Wow. Thank you, Dan. Let me get that up here. Well, good morning again, and happy Easter to all of you. It's a blessed day. It's a blessed day. Wow. As I'm looking out, I go, wow, you guys look really good today. Dressed up in your Sunday finest. And I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you look good today. All right. Turn to someone else and say, you look good today. Yeah. You guys look great today. No one said I look good today. What happened? No. Oh, thank you. The blind guy said that. Thanks, John. No, it's a great day to worship the Lord, and you guys look really great today, and we're so blessed to be here. You know, our chapel looks good, too. We've got these beautiful lilies here, and I just want to say thank you to our staff and to our volunteers who decorated the chapel, but particularly to those who purchased lilies. And you purchase them in honor or in memory of someone. And so thank you for doing that. Thank you for remembering your loved ones. And just as a reminder, each of these lilies have names on there. So if you purchased a lily, make sure you come up after service and pick up your lily and find your name. I think they're in alphabetical order, starting this way and going that way. But thank you so much. But it's a glorious day, isn't it, to celebrate the greatest event in the history of the world, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is risen. All right, he is risen. Amen, amen. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are an amazing God. You sent us your Son, Jesus, and he died on the cross for us, for our sins and for our suffering and for our pain, and he conquered death, and he rose again on the third day, and this is the day that we celebrate this day. So, Lord, I thank you that we can do that. I thank you that we can come together and celebrate in worship and in praise and in prayer of the great news of your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, bless us this day as we look into your word. And I pray that you'll bless it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Two questions I have for you this morning concerning the Easter and concerning the resurrection and concerning Easter. And here are the two questions. What does it mean, number one? And why does it matter to me? You see, in the past 24 hours, over a billion people have celebrated Easter all around the world. And because we're in Hawaii, we're very fortunate. We're like the last ones to kind of celebrate Easter. It's already tomorrow over on the other side of the international dateline. But how is it that something could happen 2,000 years ago and still have so much interest today? What does it mean? What does the resurrection mean? You know, a lot of people say they believe in the resurrection, although they may not fully understand it. And there was a poll that was taken in 2016. It's kind of like a Gallup poll. It's called the Rasmussen poll. And the results said that 77% of the American people, and that's many people who never go to church, 77% of the American people believe that Jesus rose from the dead. That it was a historical fact. That the resurrection actually happened. And so what does it mean? What does it mean? Well, it means, first of all, that Jesus is who we claim to be. He said in John chapter 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Now, Jesus made some pretty outrageous claims about himself when he was here on earth, and he said things like this. He says, I and the Father, I and God, we're one. He said, I'm perfect. Jesus said, I'm the only way to go to heaven. I'm the only way to get to the Father. You have to come through me. Jesus claimed that he was the Savior of the world. He claimed to be God, and his resurrection, that what we celebrate today, backs up what he claimed to be. So very simply, in a nutshell, that's what Easter means. Because Jesus rose from the dead, he is who he said he was. He has the power to claim. He has the power he claimed that he had. And he has kept the promises that he made. And so you're saying, Major Lum, well, that's well and good. But the more important question, and I think the question you're probably more interested in this morning, is always the why question. We can hear about the facts and hear what's happening, but why? Why does it matter? What difference does it make? So what if Jesus is who he said he was? What I want to know is, what does it mean for me? And maybe some of you may be asking yourselves the very same question. What does it actually mean to me? What's in it for me? Isn't that what we all want to know? What does the resurrection, why does it really matter to me? Well, I believe the resurrection means many things. But this morning, just for the next few moments, I want to focus on just three things. Three things on why I believe the resurrection is important for me, as well as for each and every one of you as well. And maybe you could relate to one or two, or maybe even all three of them. But here's the question. What does the resurrection mean? Resurrection mean to me? Number one, very simple, but very basic. The resurrection means that my past can be forgiven. My past can be forgiven. You see it up there on the screen. Turn to your neighbor and say, my past can be forgiven. Say it to someone else, my past can be forgiven. Any golfers out there? You know what a mulligan is? What's a mulligan? A do-over, right? Right? Did Tiger Woods take any mulligans in the Masters tournament? No, he didn't need to. Well, you're not allowed to in the pro tournaments. But when us amateurs play, we take lots of mulligans, right? A mulligan is like a second chance. It's called a do-over. So if I hit a shot and it just, I shank it or just goes crazy, I take a mulligan. And the guys I play with said, yeah, go ahead and take a mulligan. So that doesn't count. I get to start all over again. I get to do a do-over. And a lot of times, I think people feel that way about life. You see, they make some bad decisions. And they make some bad choices. And they wish they could just start over to take a mulligan and get a do-over. You see, we all have things we wish we hadn't done. And said things we wish we hadn't said. And thought things we wish we hadn't thought. We've all made mistakes. We all have regrets. Some more, some less. Let me share you this letter with you. A pastor received this letter. And this is what it says. It says, I'm 31 years old and divorced. Though I fought the divorce bitterly, I feel badly. I have no hope for my future. Often I go home and cry, but there's no one holding me when I cry. Nobody cares. Nothing changes. And I continue to fail. I'm stressed out emotionally, and I feel I'm on the verge of a collapse. Something is very wrong, but I feel so hurt and embittered that I can scarcely react or relate to others anymore. I feel as if I'm going to have to sit out the rest of my life in the penalty box on the sidelines. The tragedy is that there are a lot of people like that. They're paralyzed and they can't move on with their life because they're stuck in the past. And perhaps it's guilt or regret or shame, but something has tied them down and it's holding them back. It's kind of like this chain here. You know, things in the past, if they're not properly dealt with, it can be like this chain, and it can weigh us down. And we carry it around with us, and we can't quite seem to get used to it, but we sort of get used to it. And maybe it's something like anger or embarrassment if you failed in your life, if you failed in your job. Maybe some of the change we carry could be past relationships. Maybe that went bad. And because we won't let go of certain things, it affects our current relationships. Perhaps with our family. Perhaps with our parents. We've had a falling out with them. Or our children. Or an ex-spouse. Or perhaps these chains that we carry can represent unconfessed sin. Sin we know that we haven't come clean with. And the guilt we bear every day because they haven't been forgiven, they haven't been confessed. And that guilt just weighs heavy and heavy on us. Perhaps it's anger and bitterness and cynicism that seems to occupy our mind and our life. And we aren't even aware of that because of this chain, this baggage, this extra weight that we seem to be dragging around with us. And sometimes we don't even realize that we're carrying this. And it begins to affect us physically. We can't sleep at night because we're so anxious and worried. We overeat. We have unhealthy addictions. And eventually it becomes to affect our own mental health as well. Because we don't realize we're carrying around stuff and junk from the past. And we're not willing to let it go. And so it affects how we live and the kind of relationships that we have today. Well, there's good news. There's good news. In Colossians chapter 2, and you can see it up on the screen here, it says, He, meaning God, He's forgiven all our sins and canceled every record of the debt we owed. Christ has done away with it by nailing it to the cross. That's God's plan. And I don't know if you can see that picture there, but on Friday, Good Friday, we had the cross right down here. And we gave people an opportunity to write some things on those pieces of paper and come to the cross and nail them to the cross and let go of it and let God take care of it. And this is God's plan for us, the cross. That's why we celebrate Easter. That's why we celebrate His resurrection. Jesus paid for my guilt. That means I don't have to pay for it. I don't have to live with it anymore. I don't need to drag these chains around with me. You see, Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross so that I can quit nailing myself to the cross. He wants to forgive our past. He wants to heal the wounds. He wants to soothe the pain. He says He wants to cancel every record of all debts we owe. All of our sin. All of that emotional debt. All of that relational debt. It's paid in full on the cross. And He marks the debt canceled. Canceled. Let me ask you this. How long do we remember a bill that's already been paid? Not very long, right? You see, I don't remember at all. Once it's paid, once I pay the bill, I forget about it. It's done. It's over with. And so the point is, once God has forgiven it, I can forget it. Can you say amen to that? Can you say amen to that? Because Jesus is who He said He was. My past can be forgiven. I don't have to go around carrying a load of guilt. I can get rid of these chains, and I can just get rid of them like that. Good thing I didn't knock that cross over. My wife would have killed me. She said, "Don't throw that chain so hard this morning." But you notice where I threw the chain? To the cross. And that's what we need to do. With all the past hurt, our sin, the pain, we need to give it to the cross. That's why Jesus died. That's why he came to this earth, and that's why he rose again on the third day. You see, Jesus Christ came not to condemn the world. You see, when you're carrying those chains, it's a sense of condemnation. The chains keep you trapped, and you're a prisoner, and it condemns you. If you've ever seen the movies, those guys on the chain gang, you just look at them and say, they're condemned men. But Jesus did not come to condemn, but he came to save. He came to free us. He came to cleanse us. He says, I want to change you. I want to help you. I want to give you a new life. And that's what Easter, that's what resurrection is all about. It's new life. It's getting rid of the old and bringing on the new. The dead is gone. Jesus is alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And we can get rid of the past, and we can go to bed tonight with a clean and a clear conscience. Because why? My past can be forgiven. That's what the resurrection means for each of us, that our past can be forgiven. So that's the first thing. My past can be forgiven. The second thing I leave with you this morning, the resurrection matters to me because my present, today, my present problems can be managed. Think about that. Turn to your neighbor and say, my present problems can be managed. Say it again, one more time. What's the definition of maturity? You see that slide up there? Can you fill in the blanks? The definition of maturity. Let me give you a hint. Maturity is when you figure out that you don't have it all figured out. You agree with that? Yeah, there you go, up there. Let me repeat it again. Maturity is when you figure out that you don't have it all figured out. Maturity is when you realize that you can't manage all that life is going to send you, but God can. And that's the good news. You see, I can't control everything in my life, but God can, and he ordains it. It's his sovereignty. It's his providence. So I want to connect with God. I want to connect with him and let him control it and ask him for help on a daily basis. As I talk to a number of people, the number one issue I hear from people today is this. They say, my life is out of control. My life is out of control. I hear it so often. I hear people say, I feel powerless to change my situation. I feel powerless to break a bad habit or to break an addiction. I feel powerless to salvage this relationship. I feel powerless to get out of debt. I feel powerless to manage my time and my schedule. I feel powerless to face up to that bully at school or at work. I feel powerless. And what you need is a power that's greater than yourself. You were never meant to live this life just on your own power, on your own strength, on your own adequacy. You see, God wants to be in a relationship with you, in a personal and in a real relationship with you. And so, and that's why Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 says this. It says, how incredibly great is his power to help those who believe him. The same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. The same power that enabled Jesus to rise from the grave will help you rise above your problems. The same power that God used at the resurrection time 2,000 years ago can be used in your life right now. That's amazing power. Now, we don't know what future circumstances holds for us, and I don't know what's going to happen next year or next month or even next week. In fact, I don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow, and neither do you. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because even though it's out of my control, It's not out of God's. As I place my trust in Him and in His will and in His purpose for my life, He will give me the power and the courage and whatever it takes to face whatever comes my way in the power of the name of Jesus. My son, Micaiah, is in college, and he likes to play basketball. And so his favorite NBA player, probably the favorite of a lot of people, is Stephen Curry of the Golden State Warriors. In fact, I believe they're playing right now. I haven't checked the score, so nobody's telling me about the score. But Stephen Curry is a great basketball player, one of the greatest shooters of all time. But he's also a great Christian gentleman. And he uses his platform as an NBA All-Star to help proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one of his favorite verses, and he actually has it on his shoes that they make, is Philippians 4:13. And probably most of you have quoted that verse before. But Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And you can see this picture here. This is it's Micaiah's shirt. It's from Steph Curry. But it's his mother wearing the shirt. He says, I can do all things. Doesn't she look good? Say, you look good. But another way we can read this verse, and I have it printed up here. It says this, I'm ready for anything. I'm ready for anything through the strength of Christ who lives in me. When I read that version, when it says, I'm ready for anything, it sounds very full of confidence. I'm ready. I can take on the world. I'm ready for anything that comes my way. Come on, bring it on. I'm ready for anything through the strength of Christ who lives in me. And God says, I want to live through you. He says, no matter how hopeless your situation is, and some of you may have had some tough times. Some of you may have had a tough week. Some of you may have had a tough month. Some of you may have had a tough year. And God wants to say to you, He's saying, don't give up. Don't give up. No problem is too big for me. No situation is hopeless if you'll just turn it over to me. And maybe someone needs to hear that this morning. That God says, don't give up. I know things haven't been going well recently or lately, but I still love you. Don't give up. And the verse here says, I'm ready for anything. With gusto, with confidence. It says, I'm ready for anything through what? Through the power of positive thinking? No. It doesn't say that. He says, I'm ready for anything through what? Through good thoughts or good vibes? We hear that a lot today, don't we? No, it doesn't say that. I'm ready for anything because I psyched myself up and I do a lot of self-talk. We hear a lot of that today as well, right? No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that at all. It says, I'm ready for anything through the strength of Christ who lives in me. Can you say amen to that? The strength of Christ. So why does the resurrection really matter? Well, it matters. Because my past can be forgiven, my present can be managed with confidence, and I can face life every day knowing that God is with me and He's on my side. And no matter what comes, I can face anything. That's the resurrection power. And thirdly, this morning, as we draw to a close, and thank you for being patient this morning, the resurrection means for me, thirdly, is that my future, we talked about the past, the present, and now the future, my future can be secure. My future can be secure. Turn to your neighbor and say, my future can be secure. Say it one more time. My future can be secure. You know, as Jesus hung on that cross, as we remember it on Good Friday, The scriptures record seven sayings. We call it the seven last words of Christ. And the very final thing he said, after he had said, "I thirst," and after he had said, "It is finished," he said this. He said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And it's found there in Luke chapter 23, verse 46. Now, if you were to go to the Old Testament and look in the book of Psalms, Psalm 31:5, it says the exact same thing, except without the word Father. It says, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." And this verse in Psalm 31, this verse was the prayer that every Jewish mother taught her child to say as the last thing at night. Just as we were taught to say, some of you were taught to say, when you go to bed at night, you tell our kids, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." So the Jewish mother taught her child to say this before they went to sleep. "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." However, when Jesus said it on the cross with his final breath, he showed something very significant when he added the word Father. It was a very common Jewish saying to say, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Every child knew it. But Jesus said, "Father." And he used that term, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And what he did was he acknowledged this relationship that he had with God. And he showed us, this is important, he showed us that while on the cross, he showed us how to die. Because he was facing death. He showed us how to die like a child falling asleep in his father's arms. You see, he was not afraid to die. Because he knew that this physical death was not final. He knew that he was eternally safe in the arms of his loving father. I want to show a picture up here of my brother-in-law. His name is Glenn. He and his family live in Texas. And they just had a brand new baby girl. They had three boys, and then they had a girl. Her name is Eden Rose. And you can see how that baby is just peacefully sleeping in her father's arms. And I still remember my children. Those of you who have young children as well, remember. I see Alexis's baby right here as well. But I remember my children, Makai and Gabby, when they were younger, falling asleep in my arms. There was such a sense of serenity and peace. From their perspective, they didn't have a care in the world, as they felt totally secure in the arms of their father. And that's how it should be for us as children of God. John 3:16 says, and you can all probably quote it, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." That means when we die this physical death, we have something to look forward to beyond the physical death. John 1:12 says, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, to those who trusted in Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God." You see, your future is secure if you're in the right relationship with God. We have nothing to fear. We don't have to be afraid of dying. That's probably one of the greatest fears of any person because it's unknown. The fear of dying. But if you're in the right relationship with God, there's no fear of that. Because of the resurrection, Jesus was victorious over both sin and death. And there's no need to fear death. There's no need to worry or be anxious for the future if you're secure in the arms of Jesus. And so my future can be certain and secure because of the resurrection. I'm going to ask Matt to come out to the keyboard. And I just want everyone to close your eyes and bow your heads. And this morning perhaps reflect on what's been said. Maybe something has struck you that you can relate to. As we talked about our past and the present and the future, maybe for some of you there are some things that are still holding you back, things from your past that you haven't let go of. And perhaps you feel entrapped like those chains were weighing me down, that prevents you from living the life that God wants you to live, because there's some stuff in the past that you haven't quite dealt with. Now's the time to do that. Throw those chains off. Be free. That's why Jesus died on the cross, for our sin, for our pain, for our suffering. That's why he rose again on the third day. His claims are true. He loves us with an everlasting love. And perhaps there are some of you today who are just having a hard time facing and dealing with life today. Life is so challenging today. There's so many things coming at us. And yet we need that power, not within us, but only coming from Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Can equip you, can empower you, so that you can face this life with confidence, that I can face anything through the strength of Jesus Christ in me. And perhaps there are some of you today that you're not too certain about your future. You know, in our church in the last several months, we've had a number of deaths of saints, though. And in the Salvation Army, we call it a promotion to glory. And every service I went to was really, it was actually a celebration, because we knew that this wasn't the final farewell to these individuals. We knew that this was just going to be a see you later, because we will see them again in heaven. But maybe there's some of you here this morning that you're not certain about your future. That if you were to die today, and life is very fleeting here on this earth, would you be certain, would be assured of your sins forgiven and a place eternally in heaven with Jesus Christ our Lord? So allow God's Holy Spirit to speak to your heart this morning, just in these next few moments. In a few moments I'm going to pray. If any of you would like to come to our prayer benches here, we call it the mercy seat, you're welcome to do that. If there's someone you need to talk to, and we'd be happy to talk to you and encourage you and to pray with you, you can come and see us after the service. We'll be happy to share with you and just let you know that we love you. But I'm not sure why each and every one of you came today, for whatever reason. Maybe someone invited you, someone that truly loves you and wanted to invite you to church today. But it's no accident that you're here, because God is speaking to you right now, and he's saying, I love you. You matter to me. I created you. I want to be in a relationship with you. I want to have fellowship with you. And so if you feel far away from God, all it takes is coming to him and say, God, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Forgive my sins. Cleanse my heart. Help me to be a better person. I want to receive your son, Jesus, into my life. I believe in him, and I trust in him. And I hope that's your prayer today. So I'm going to pray. But before I do that, if there's anyone with a specific prayer request or concern or a worry or any other prayer need, if you just want to slip up your hand and slip it down, I'll be happy to pray for you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Yes, Lord bless you. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, we thank you and we praise you. We worship you. We thank you for the promises that are ours because of your Son, Jesus Christ, how he rose from the dead and conquered both sin and death. And because of that, we can live that type of a victorious life as well. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray for those especially who've raised their hands this morning. Whatever their needs are, Lord, if it's for their own salvation, they're praying for someone else, if there's healing that needs to take place, if there are broken relationships, if there's reconciliation to be made, I pray, Father, that you would just surround them with your Spirit's presence, with your love, and with your grace, with your encouragement. We thank you because you are a wonderful God, and we worship you, and we praise you, and we thank you. And all God's people said, amen and amen.